this version of the Bible, but I'm going to read to you Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message Bible. The reason why I'm reading it in the Message is most of us know the scripture as "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we might see the good and perfect will of God," right? You know that scripture that most of us that have been believers for a while, we could probably get pretty close to repeating it. Well, this version in the Message really takes me back and allows my heart and spirit to really see a deeper meaning for me. So I want to read it over you because it seams itself into the message that I have for you today. So here's what I want you to do. That's actually in the text. I'm not actually talking to you. Okay, so we're there. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. That's the Message version of those two short verses. Fix your attention on God. Recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. If our minds are going to be transformed by God's word, and that's what we're supposed to expect, this is more than stories. There are real stories of people's lives in here that we will affiliate with, we will glean from, we will, you know, have God give us revelation in the areas of our life. But it's more than stories. This is God's word. It's truth. It's a flawless, inspired word from God. God intended that it would change our lives, not just be read. It would be embraced. And because the Holy Spirit exists, illuminates what this word and what it's supposed to do for us as we read it, so that our lives are transformed. Why? Because He wants you and I to be just like Him. And He wants us to be just like Him because He wants everybody else to see Him in us. It's all about God. He's okay with that. He's the one guy that can say that, hey, it's all about me. If you're God, you can say that. It's not pride. Just letting you know. If we say that, hey, it's all about me, you know, we might want to stand back. But God can say that, hey, it's all about me. And this word is a gift to us. It's a blessing because there are people, you know, even in this text that couldn't hold this Bible in their hand. They didn't have it. And we have it. And yet we take it for granted. I want to be somebody who opens this book, and I hope you are, and believes what they read, not reads what they believe. You know what the difference is? I'm going to call it stinking theology. When we get trapped by theology that limits what God wants to do in us, that's not good. You can have a theology, we all do, but if we allow it to limit what God wants to do and limit what His word intended, that's not good, people. We need to read this with the intention that, Holy Spirit, You are real and You live within me. And You desire my life to emulate who You are and be powerful for Your name. In order to do that, I got to release control. And that means that my mind is not going to be able to understand or comprehend everything You want to do in me. That's surrender. How many people know the real meaning of the word wisdom isn't like knowing everything perfectly? It's about having the ability to walk through something that you don't have the experience beforehand to do. It's God's wisdom. Well, how does that happen? It doesn't happen here. It's an inspiration, and it takes a surrender and obedience to follow. So first and foremost, we need to know God intends for our lives to be filled with power because of His word, because of His sacrifice, because of what He did. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 together. guys there? Okay. Second Peter 1, starting on verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. So we just went from faith to love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. You see, your mind is a real piece of the puzzle here. If we have to transform our minds by the renewing of it and reading the word, our minds can't be disconnected from the equation. You agree with that? We need our minds. God gave them to us for purpose. But when we're just limited to our minds and our knowledge, we fall short. There's something greater. It says here that we have all we need, that his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us. That's not the only piece of the picture. If you remember in John chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but there's a story about Jesus encounters a woman at the well. And she's coming to, you know, draw water from the well, and she's got her clay pot, and she meets Jesus, and Jesus is there. And if you remember the loose conversation, Jesus basically says, "Woman, can I have a drink?" I like that, woman. I try that on my wife every now and then. Hey, woman. Don't recommend it. No. But really, he says, "Woman, may I have a drink?" Well, there's a little bit of a problem because he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan. That's culturally not acceptable, and a lot of studying could get you, you know, more in touch with that. But it's just a no-no. And she's very disoriented, like, "Sir, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't be asking me for a drink, you know, because I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew." But basically, the end of the conversation, this is what he takes away. Jesus says, "If you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink." Yet he's sitting there waterless. And he starts to explain to her about the rivers of living water that are going to flow from the inside out. He's prophetically speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It hasn't come yet. Later on, he's talking to his disciples, and the 3 years they walked together, you'd think some of these guys would have gotten it, right? Peter, I'm like Peter. I'm hard-headed sometimes, right? He didn't get it all the time, but they were talking with him, and, you know, many times Jesus would say, you know, "I'm going to have to leave you." And, you know, Peter or somebody would pipe up, "You're not going anywhere. Jesus, we'll stand behind you. If anybody tries to take you, we'll take them down." Remember Peter lops off the ear? They didn't get it. He said, "No, you don't understand. It's better that I go." Now, you got to try and put yourself in that place. You're walking with Jesus Christ for 3 years. You guys are. You get to see the cool things, right? He even lets you do some cool things. Miracles. Teaches you about the truth. And then he tells you he's going away and it's a better thing. Is that going to be a hard thing for you guys? Well, not where you sit maybe today, right? But it would be. Like, what do you mean you're going? You're healing people. You're setting people free from demons and addictions and all kinds of things. You're revealing the true heart of God. We need you here. You know, it's better that I go. And he starts talking about the one the Father will send. Many names, the Counselor, the Comforter. But it's the Holy Spirit. We have all that we need. His divine power, because For the believer who has embraced Christ in their heart and has laid down their life to follow him, the Holy Spirit comes and becomes the flowing, living waters within us. The inner workings of God, pure Spirit of God, the full potential of God in you and I. He's in there. And yet every day I go by, I think of things like, man, I miss some things. But we have all that we need. We are fully equipped. And the thing that jumps out about this section of Scripture for me is, yeah, we have all that we need, because I don't want to be the one that falls into the ineffective and unproductive part of that Scripture. Anybody else in there, in here on that place? I don't want to be that. I want to please God for real. Like, let's put it in real terms. Like, I want to know. I want to see God smiling like, that's my boy. There's my girl. I want that. And I think we have this wrong picture sometimes that God's shaking his finger at us all the time. No, God's like this. Come to me. I've given you all that you need. You just need to embrace the one I've sent. He knows the way. Full of power. Amen? Colossians 1, you know, that scripture we sing about at church a lot, but in our church, the song Everything, but it says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Christ in you, sir. The hope of glory. His glory, not mine. We get that confused occasionally. And that's good that our God is merciful, because it's about him. It truly is. See, evil has shaped our society, our culture. And it's not always seen. You remember, everyone thinks about the little kid story about the serpent in the garden, you know, that came up to Eden and says, oh, eat the apple, and Eve grabs the apple. It wasn't that simple. Come on, we're adults, right? We're learned people. It was deceitful. And the evil forces of the world have sown themselves into the culture and didn't make look evil like all glorious, because killing somebody still looks like killing somebody. But it's made its way in so that we become lazy, or we become desensitized to its place in society, and we become comfortable. I know Christ. He's in my heart. Well, that's a great thing to rejoice in, but he's got a lot of work to do through you. That's the good news today. Hallelujah if you found Christ in your heart and you got him and you know that he's there. But if he ain't working, if you're not following and you're not partnering with him and you're not affecting lives, you're falling way short of the plan he had for your life. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 139. David is reflecting unto God in the midst of worship, and he says, you know, you wove me in the secret place. You put me together in my mother's womb. And before one day of my life came to pass, you ordained every one of them for a purpose. Now that to me sounds like, no matter who you are in this room, God created you with a very specific purpose for your life. Not some complacent purpose or some, you know, yeah, well, yeah, okay, I'll follow you. No, specific, passionate, filled with power. And he gave us the Holy Spirit so that he'll illuminate our way, and that power source will carry on and actually show who God is as we are obedient to his ways. It's not a light switch. That scripture we talked about the increasing measure, the presence of God, the power of God, the work of God, you connecting with the plan of God, me connecting, is a growing thing. It's not a flip. Here I am. It's about learning to follow. That's our Christian walk. And when the fruit of the Holy Spirit is active in us, people's lives get changed. Our lives get changed. God's glory comes. People see who he is above and beyond the shortcomings that you and I possess. they start to see us overcoming things. They see victory. They get hope. They get a clearer picture of Christ who died for them. And God's glory and plan starts to mix itself into your life. Next thing you know, you're walking in and you don't even realize it, because you're just being obedient and you're partnering with God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's good news to me, anyways. I want to jump up and down when I read that. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Wow. Okay, I'm the only one. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Wow, that's a prophetic word for the church today. An exciting, incredibly potential, powerfully word for you guys today and us. The body of Christ. Amen. It wasn't just written, but I think the Holy Spirit wants to illuminate it for us today. Many of you may have read that scripture many, many, many times. But let's see what he wants to say. I'm going to give you a little lesson today in spiritual physics. Anybody a science major in here? Anybody like science? You like science? You raised your hand. I saw that. I got you now. Didn't she just raise her hand? Okay, who likes science in school or did? Okay, you got a couple. Any naval nuclear people in here? Oh, yeah, ex-naval nuclear. You followed me here, didn't you? No. We got one? Sweet. Are you an officer? Student or staff? Staff. How long have you been up here? All right, so we're like right here, man. Okay, good. Spiritual physics. Anybody heard of a term called potential energy? Okay. Anybody know what it means other than that gentleman and the ex-Navy guy? Guys, it's your turn. I saw you raise your hand. What do you think? Potential energy? Stored up, right? So if I take a box, stick it 20 feet off in the air on a shelf, it doesn't move. It's got a lot of potential energy in it, correct? But it's not doing anything, right? Because energy really needs to do something, right? It's to have purpose. But it's stored up on that shelf. Now, if we just knock the shelf out from underneath it and it starts to come crashing down, the energy goes from potential to kinetic, which is energy at work. So here I am. I'm going to speak for God. God wants your energy to be one at work, not stored up. You have the full potential stored up inside of you already. He wants you to get started moving so the kinetic energy builds momentum and great work for his kingdom happens. So we got the spiritual physics, potential, right? I got to tell you about these two brothers, this story. Two brothers, younger and an older brother. You guys brothers by any chance? No? Any brothers in here? Darn. Okay. So we got two brothers. And one of them, the older one, is a lot shorter and physically smaller than the younger brother. But he's a nuisance. I mean, he's a wise guy. He's always cracking jokes, picking on the younger brother. Younger brother's a lot bigger, but just is a passive guy and just stands by and takes it, right? And so the older brother's always hammering on him, you know, doing what older brothers do. Right, older brother?
Right.
And so a friend of theirs that knows the brothers too very well is hanging out one day, and the older brother's just really coming down on the younger guy. And so this guy that knows them both pulls the younger brother aside during the day and says, "What's the story, man? I know you love your brother and you respect him, but dude, you're a lot bigger than that guy. Why don't you just unleash the fury on him, you know?" And he's, his personality's like, you know, he's my brother and he loves me. And, you know, this is a true story that I didn't know, but I just heard somebody speak about. So it went on, and sometime in the future, short future, it was either like the next day or something, they were all in a car together anyways, and the older brother's driving, the younger brother's next to him, and his friend's in the back seat, and the older brother just starts going on and on. Well, apparently he must have pushed the wrong button, and the younger brother just hauled off and drilled him right in the arm. And the car's like, you know, on the side, skidding around, and, you know, there was no accident because this is a spiritual message, and we don't, but, you know, and it doesn't sound real godly right now, but I'm going to seam it all together for you, okay? So, and, you know, it's like, "Hey, what's up?" And he's like, "No, I'm tired of you, like, just poking like that." And the guy in the back seat's like, "Yeah. See, that guy, the younger brother, nothing changed. He was always bigger than him. He always had the potential to, like, just take this guy. He needed the eyes of his heart to be enlightened by somebody else. That you don't have to stand for that." Now, that's not exactly a story that emulates, you know, what God wants for us, because don't go home beating up people saying, "Hey, some pastor at the church told me to take you out." But this scripture says, you know, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you know the hope to which he has called you." Not condemnation, hope. "The riches of his glorious inheritance of his holy people." You're his kids. We're his kids. We have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. We haven't tapped into it. We're like, "Yeah, God, we know your way out there." No, God, you live in here. He wants to appropriate kingdom resources and power to you, his children. He just needs to know he can trust you. Amen? And his incomparably great power for us who believe. If our eyes of our heart are enlightened to that's who lives within us and that's who we are, those are the things we're to expect. Do we see them? Maybe sometimes. But I'm talking about a change in our life and a renewing of our mind so that this hope and riches and incomparable power becomes part of our everyday lives. Everyday lives. It's not about the, okay, it's Christmas season, it's Easter season, people's hearts are open, you know, we're going to put on a drama thing. Those are all great. Talking about every day of the calendar, the Holy Spirit quickening things in us and our obedience and desire to be his kids and a part of his glory, we start walking in things different. Power. Why can't we expect that? Jesus said to his disciples, "You will do greater things." Not greater in a majestic magnitude way, because the Holy Spirit lives in all of us. It was better that he left. Because now the Holy Spirit who lives in us covers a vast majority of the earth. It's not just the human form of Christ doing miracles, but we have the full potential living in us. Well, that's all great, and I'm sold. Yeah, sign me up for the power school. I want power school. That was good. You like that? Okay. Sign me up for that, to the everyday change. What do I do? My wife always like, you know, "I love that message. Where's the application? What do I do? Well, we can do some things. to get there, because it's not the light switch. We have to learn how to walk in it. God needs to trust us as we're responsible in seeking after him, and that we're going to give him the glory. We can do the things. We can read the word. That's important. Stay connected with God. We are the branch. He is the vine. We're supposed to stay connected. Here's a method. Stay in the word. Pray as you open it up. God, don't let this be a story. Show me something about my life or something I need to learn today. I'm not just storing stuff here. This is potential energy. I want kinetic energy for the kingdom. Worship. Prayer. Not prayer like, oh, I'm in trouble. Shoot off the flare. That's a flare prayer, by the way. You know. But we're talking about conversational prayer. That's the thing we're learning about in our day. Breakthrough prayer for God. Touching the heart of God, hearing God's voice. What's it sound like? That sounds like me. You know, all kinds of things, but talking with God. Worshiping. Worship is more than this, guys. It's time for worship. I heard the guitar. It must be time to sing and worship. Worship's about your life. That's a form of expression. Worship captivates your life. Everything you do in devotion to God is an offering and an act of worship. Don't change the bulletins. It's in everybody's. It's okay. But here's a real key that we need to grab a hold of. Community and fellowship. Community and fellowship. Well, I'm a loner. That's not good news for you. You need to change. Community and fellowship. We together, with the strengths and giftings of each other, can encourage and awaken the things of God in us greater than if we're by ourselves. I'm not saying God can't work at the individual level, because he does. But God designed the body of Christ and community and fellowship so that we would be stronger together by our encouragement, by our comforting, by our strengthening. We need to be rewired in our thoughts. Hey, Aaron, why don't you come on up and... Where is he? Oh, there you are. Hey, buddy.